Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning into the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, how are you doing today? Are you surviving the epidemics and all the problems we have?
I am surviving the epidemic. I'm even surviving our empty stores and markets here in Lake Jackson.
Oh, boy. Well, fortunately, you know, we know all about that, and we can bounce back because we've had hurricanes here a few times.
Exactly.
But I think the stores are going to get filled up sooner than they are with hurricanes. The hurricanes, are bad for getting things in and out. But I don't know. Our governor didn't learn much from the hurricanes, because when he made his emergency announcement, he said, "Don't let me catch you gouging people." And of course,
terrible. That's
part of this. Get rid of the pricing structure, whole thing in economics, supply and demand, what is the price and how, what you should make or do. And then they screw up the whole world with fixing the interest rate price.
Yeah.
And now you're not allowed to gouge, which is an ugly word. It sounds so selfish, and it is to a degree. People say, well, you know, if I take a little more risk, I can make a little more money. And that's what it is. It's a cost of risk. And people will cause shortages. I remember when they put wage and price controls on in 1971, boy, shortages immediately occurred. And things are bad enough, but if you have this radical approach against, charging more because people work harder. They might stay up all night trying to get you material here and helping you out. And when there's a hurricane, they go through dangerous conditions. But anyway, they haven't learned that lesson, and they consider them representative of the freest market system in the entire world.
Yeah. And what about regulating scarcity? You know, I went to the store and you see people piled up with toilet paper that they don't need, and then the guy who actually needs it, he can't even get it at any price. So it's a great way to regulate scarcity.
And of course, this regulation, I'm making sure nobody, that you can't charge more. Immediately, what I noticed in the 70s, immediately shortages.
That's what happened.
Then it makes it worse. So if you allow prices to go up, people will take more risk. Oh, yeah, I can make an extra buck if I drive this truck all night.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll help myself and I'll help the people who need some help. But no, the politicians get involved. But that leads to the question, not only how we deal with this, but how it was created, all our problems created. And we have a bunch of problems going on, whether it's the coronavirus, whether it's the financial calamity we have, or one thing that's sort of smoldering right now is the militarism of our government.
Yeah.
Now, you know, the stirring up trouble in Iraq. You know, I thought we won that war a long time ago, but that's stirring up. And the one that really annoys me, not that I know a whole lot of people in Iran, but I despise our foreign policy to what they do to the Iranians, because what they hurt mostly the innocent children.
Yeah.
You know, with sanctions. So they've suffered, much more than the average country, because they've already been frozen out from trading, so they don't have their medications and things of that sort. So there's a lot of things the government did prior to this, and that's why I think we're in a mess. It might be one of the biggest ever, but I think you should be able to lay the problems we're facing today at the feet of most significantly government agents and misinformation and the whole idea that government knows best. They got us into this trouble, and then people get frightened and scared and say, "Take care of me, take care of me, do whatever you want, I'll give up my liberties," you know, like after 9/11.
Yep.
Ron Paul, you're wrong. You have to give up some freedoms under these conditions. So this crisis is there now. People are dying. You know, people are getting sick. And when you look at these statistics, they're sort of biased toward stirring up, hysteria. And so far, they're doing a good job. I often wonder, we know about cultural Marxism. Why do they do these such dumb things and everybody gets angry? Don't you know there's two outrages? But then it dawned on me, somebody said, well, it's done on purpose. They want you to be angry. They want you to be upset. And I think, some of this stuff will upset people, but they want the chaos more than anything else. And that's not to say that everybody involved, because there's a lot of ignorance out there too on how the economy gets built into the biggest bubble ever, and then be surprised, oh, look, the stock market crashed. Well, it must be the coronavirus. That's a lot of confusion, stacked in that.
And what's shocking is this chain reaction of panic and fear and how the government ratchets in to take over. And it started on Thursday when people started panicking. That's when my son's university decided to close for the rest of the semester. I hope they get a refund. But then it started yesterday. You started hearing governors shutting down their states. And I just wrote a couple. I bet even while we talk, there's more. New Jersey, statewide 8 p.m. curfew. Casinos and restaurants closed. Michigan orders gyms, cafes, and theaters to close. Bars and restaurants, you can only take carry out. Ohio shuts down the whole country, or the whole state. Bars, restaurants have to shut down. Washington shuts down bars and restaurants. Las Vegas shuts down hotel. California, they're telling old folks you can't go out of your house. Or not even old folks, 70 and above, you got to stay at home. This is tyranny. And all of this for less than 100 deaths in the United States. Where do they get the authority to tell some restaurant owner, you got to shut down, you can't do your business?
Well, then some of the conditions that they create in addition to correcting the problems they already made, it gets worse. Take this social distancing. Stay away from me. We can't touch you and all this. And I think we might have a picture of that, do we?
From the airport, yeah. They said you got to keep a social distance.
Yes. So they said, everybody go home and hibernate and stay there. Don't touch it. And then, now look. Look at what they've created. It wouldn't have happened if they just say, well, maybe it's time you can think about going home and take your time. But no, rush it, because by Sunday night, there are no flights allowed out of Europe.
You're stuck.
Good night. And then it is well known. It's a medical fact that sunshine is pretty good for us.
Yeah.
And it does provide some immunity. So what do they do? I guess they say one of the biggest and nicest beaches in the country, Miami Beach, gets closed down after all these people were migrating there. So they do dumb things and make things worse. And I think that when this dust settles, somebody has to do an examination of this, of how people get carried away. But it is just panic. But I think people panic easily. They get scared. But I think some individuals do it on purpose. I think some of the medical explanations and the medical individual that gives us all this information, he has Gauci. I don't think he's been a help at all. I think he's created a lot of the problems we have.
Yeah, well, he's, as you point out today in your column, he's made a lot of flat-out false statements. It's 10 times more deadly than the flu. There's no numbers. Even the CDC says it's actually less than 0.1%, so less deadly than the flu. So it's completely. But I think propaganda plays a huge role in this, and it's designed to scare people. And when people are scared, what do? They don't dare question it. And we have another graphic, and this is thanks to Bob Wenzel for pointing this out. This is the graphic that got everyone into a panic and said, we've got to shut everything down. And the first curve is if we do nothing. And the dotted line is the capacity of the healthcare system. So if we do nothing, it's going to go out of control completely and overwhelm everything. But if we do control measures, which is all the things we've talked about, shut things down, force elderly folks to stay at home, et cetera, then, oh, it won't overwhelm it so bad. This was on every TV show where they talked about what to do. There's only one problem, as Bob pointed out and others. There's one thing missing. There's no numbers on this. This isn't a scientific graph. This is simply a pictorial representation of someone's aspirations and someone's view, someone's opinion. It's a graphic, but it has no science at all behind it. So its purpose was propaganda.
Well, even if it were true, it's going the wrong way because, whether it's in economics, you want to cleanse the system up and down, get it out of the way and liquidate the bad mistakes and the debt. Now, if everybody's destined to become immune by having more people get it, you don't want to string it out. That's just stringing it out, like I string out recessions. They get involved and intercede, and then the pain and suffering. But your point is that this doesn't even have any accuracy to it, and they shouldn't be overwhelmed by it. Influenza. It's still, I've said this so many times, it's a serious illness, more serious so far, at least for coronaviruses, and we're going to have 50,000 cases this year.
Deaths,
50,000 and hundreds of thousands total, and that's a serious problem, but nobody mentions it, there's a lot of TB still around, a lot of people die even in this country, but it's not mentioned. And it's much worse, than the deaths coming from a coronavirus. The danger of us making this point, of course, is you guys don't care.
Yeah.
Well, what we care about is taking a problem that was created by man and having the same people who created it to solve the problem, and then they make it much worse.
Yeah.
Because some of this stuff resolves itself. Like right now, just ignoring this whole thing for a bit would be, helpful. Common sense. There's nothing wrong with using that a little bit. But influenza is very serious, headlines, the scare tactic, New York old virus. What if we had to say, well, every winter, what we want now is reduction in colds. So we have to, do a test on everybody every winter. So right now, the people haven't been tested. We don't know who's immune or who had it and who's spreading the colds. This is a cold virus, but it's a more dangerous cold virus, and people should be more cautious. But it's usually a combination, with other things going on. But even if not, I think the hysterical reactions and the overreaction is very dangerous to us now. And of course, I think you started off with saying, well, it's dangerous because this is an opportunity for government authoritarians to take away more of our liberties. What was the answer after 9/11? Well, we have to regulate the people. We have to, give them the Patriot Act and take away their liberties. But in this case, in many ways, they're doing the same thing, controlling these health matters. It's not good information, and there are some good articles that make more sense than what we're hearing.
Well, in fact, Robert Wenzel, we'll cite him again because he's been an island of tranquility in this crazy time. But he put out something. It was a tweet. It was an interview of a CBS reporter in Rome, I think it was. He was covering coronavirus in Rome, and he contracted the virus. Okay, and here he's being interviewed on his channel and his network. He said, quote, "For the most part, I feel okay. I've had a kind of chest pressure, almost like you feel when you do a big workout. Honestly, I feel like I've had colds and flu worse than this," end quote. But then he finishes by saying, "But all of these measures are necessary. We got to shut these things down. We got to keep up the quarantines. We got to stop the spread of this." When he himself is saying, this is like not even as bad as a cold or the flu.
Yeah, they have to go searching for the problem, right?
Yeah.
But there are some things stirring in the Middle East, which will be ignored until they need a real war going on there. But there's been more bombing, more killing in Iraq, and we're always looking for a fight with Iran. So things have not settled down there. In a way, they've perked up a little bit. They're more dangerous, but nobody's going to worry about that. And, if we compare deaths from influenza and coronaviruses, that's one thing, and people will dismiss that. But they wouldn't dare try to compare death and destruction from wars that have been unnecessary, illegal, foolish, and people say unanimously almost agree that, the Iraq war was a stupid war.
Yeah.
They lied us into it.
Yeah.
But they just march on and march on. What are we going to do? Wait 2 years and say, there's hope. that some of our suspicions are right, that when the summer heat comes, most viruses go away. And let's hope that they would say, you know, there was a bunch of lies they told us, but not now. They're not going to do this. We're the ones that will get in the trouble for suggesting, you know, a little more objectivity.
Well, what they'll say if that happens, and you're right, and it's nothing like they're talking about, is, oh, well, they'll take all the credit. Oh, well, we were right to shut everything down and seize everyone's yeah. business and keep the senior citizens at home. We were right. This just shows that we're right. Instead of, you know what, we overreacted. Right. We probably destroyed a few thousand mom-and-pop restaurants and bars and businesses in the process. But, you know, as you say, these things do peter out. And, in fact, we saw something on Zero Hedge today. Where in Lombardy, which is a region of Italy, today is the first day they're reporting the smallest jump in new cases in a week. So a jump like this, and then it's going like this. And that's exactly what happened in China. So yeah. It's running its course in these places. No thanks to all the, you know, the people who are hysterical, keeping people in their homes where they can't breathe any fresh air.
Now, if I ever engage in conspiracy theories, you know, I believe in conspiracies as long as they're true. You know, we can understand if they're true. But just seriously, though, one of the motivations could very well be, let's say they are motivated and they are conspiring to distract us. Well, they distract us from potential wars. They don't want us talking and understanding the danger that we're getting into there. But what about this financial bubble?
Yeah.
They know it's bad, but I'll bet you 90% of the people now, so the financial crisis that we have came from the flu virus.
Yeah.
And who knows, you know, most people are acknowledging this is not helpful to Trump's reelection thing, but who knows if it won't happen where he'll take credit, for saying, you know, the Federal Reserve did this, and it was the flu virus. It was beyond my control, and people believe that, and it's the reaction to the propaganda. But what is really forgotten is, once again, we started off with talking about no price controls on gouging. This whole financial mess comes from the Federal Reserve System and the bugging of everybody wanting stuff for free.
Yeah.
And we've been following modern monetary theory now for many, many years. And the Fed's been pressured by everybody in the world, executive branch, legislative branch, everybody bugs them, print, print, print. So lower the interest rates. Now they're down to zero. And where are they going to go? They've run out of any place to go, and they've run out of common sense too. So this is a distraction that very few people are really going to talk about. You know, the price fixing of interest rates. That's the big price. It's the biggest price messing around with that has caused so much havoc here for a long time since we've had a Fed, but especially in the past 10 years, you know, that they rigged this up, and there's a pretense because on the surface it looks like things are going quite well financially. But it's sort of like, I look at that like, you have a drug addiction, a person with drug addiction come in. I need a fix. Oh no, your treatment is, we got to, you know, calm you down and help you through. You got to get off the drugs or you're going to die.
Yeah.
But the guy said, please, 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 tide me over. I need it. So you give him a drug. And my gosh, he feels great.
Yeah.
He feels great. The economy has been feeling great, but it's all because they've gotten another financial fix, an artificial fix to keep it going. And now we're flooded with money. They don't know what to do. One thing I have to admit I'm a little bit surprised with these trillions and trillions of dollars. A lot of it's being liquidated through debt default, but they have so many dollars that they don't know what to do with them, and they won't invest them. They won't buy stocks anymore. and they're trying to find a place to park this money, and it's in a U.S. government treasury 10-year bill. I mean, when are they going to say, hey, you know, I don't know, I'm paying my government to take my money and use it. You know, of course, the Fed created the money in the beginning, but that to me is astounding how many people are willing to pay, but they're desperate. They don't know what to do. It's not like it destroys the whole concept of savings. People over the last 10 years should have been saving and being comfortable and maybe have a nest egg, but nobody has any nest eggs. Stock values are down, and this is a consequence of way too much mischief in our government's mischief of wars, the mischief of deficits going up, and the mischief of the Fed saying, well, we can monetize and rig interest rates forever and ever, and everybody's going to be happy. Well, we're seeing the consequence right now.
Yeah, we will for a while. You know, the real terrifying thing is that the two presumptive presidential candidates, Trump and Biden, they're competing to see who can be the most authoritarian. You know, here's Trump. They call him a serial abuser of power, and then they just handed him a bunch of power. And he has the power now to suspend, to restrict domestic travel, to shut down news outlets. I mean, the power under his declaration of emergency is astounding. And here comes Biden coming along saying, oh, yeah? Well, let me up you one. I would use the military to fight this virus. That's what he said in the debate last night, which I don't know what that means, but it doesn't sound good if you're worried about civil liberties. But I would just close by saying I just hope other people feel as shocked and terrified by the idea that a governor of a state can just say, your business is shut. That's it. You can't do business. And we care about the people. What about the workers in these restaurants who are living from paycheck to paycheck? Who probably won't get this virus at all because a lot of them are young and healthy. So you can't get your paycheck anymore. You're ruined. Your business is ruined. Your life savings is gone. This kind of power concentrated in government is the best excuse, the best reason to embrace the Dr. Paul view of limited to no government. So it is a terrifying thing. I just want to make one final note, and that is people are probably wondering about our conference in May. We are pretty confident that come May in Houston, the governor or the mayor or whoever will let us get together and have our conference. So for right now, we're definitely still on for the conference. If something does happen, of course, we will refund the tickets. But as of right now, it's going to be still a great event. So I encourage you to be optimistic and come join us in May. But we'll definitely keep you posted.
Very good. Much of what we have talked about and worried about is martial law, whether it's local official or our president. You say, well, how did they do that so quickly? Well, it was in the law. The emergency powers to the president have been on the books for a long, long time. And just reading about it is scary because how does he get the emergency power? How do they declare? The president declares it. So when the president comes out and make that declaration, you can't believe what is in it. No, I bet you can. But you can believe how much legal authority here they have. This is not, it was given up by the Congress a long ago. But Congress can't do that, technically give up powers for the future. That's sort of like amending the Constitution. So it is martial law that is the greatest danger, and they're not bashful about it. And that is the opposite of what a society dedicated to liberty is all about. And it is the authoritarianism in economics and foreign policy and also in social issues that gets us into all this mess. It's too much authority. Yes, too much printed money and interest rates are too low. So how do we solve it? We'll print more money and get interest rates lower. And now the authoritarianism of Republicans and Democrats has run its course. It's a mess. It's out of control. And now they're dealing with a virus that isn't quite as dangerous as they claim it is, but at least it gets you away from worrying about the stock market. You know, you worry about the virus and you don't have to worry about wars in the Middle East anytime soon. But it's martial law that is on the books right now. It will be used probably cautiously for a while and always to make you safe. That's always the reason. That's what the Patriot Act was all about, make you safe. But remember, you have to give up your little bit of your security to be safe, to be physically safe, and to be part of the the safety net. It's going to cost a little bit, so you have to understand that. Well, tell you what, the principle of sacrificing liberty for a little bit of security is 100% of the principle, and that's where we are. We've been doing it for a long time. Now we're nearing the climactic end of the sacrifice of liberty. It's sort of like where do you go when interest rates are below zero? And that's what happens when they've sacrificed our liberties. Where do you go? How can we take more liberty? Well, they'll figure it out because they're now, in charge, and who knows what will come out of the election. We don't have too many people running for the presidency this year or even Congress that would like to preach the gospel of individual liberty and promote the cause of liberty, and that's ultimately what we need. It's alive and well in the country and alive and well with many people, but right now, we have to run its course, and we have to see this liquidation of debt, the financial debt. But we have to see the liquidation of these ideas that gave us this mess and get people to understand that liberty is a much better option than this authoritarianism that we're witnessing today. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.